Nobody brings Philadelphia fans closer together like the Green Legion. From tailgates in South Philly to invading enemy territory, this group is home to the true Philadelphia sports fan. Now, their party hits the airwaves. Quimby, Michael Diaz, Chris Sack, Slash, Super Sam, and legendary wide receiver Irving Fryer always keep the conversation going. So crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
All right, where's our intro music? Come on, Jansen.
That is our intro music. Come on.
I want you to sing it. You sing it. Sing it.
Everybody, welcome to the Green Legion Radio Player Show. The Philadelphia Eagles are 9-1, baby.
Sounds
good.
9-1.
Yeah.
You guys, we are here on 102.5 FM Philadelphia, an iHeart radio station brought to you by Live Casino and as well our host for every Tuesday night's Players Show. If you're around South Philadelphia or not even close, get in a car, get in an Uber, get on the train, get your ass down here. It's a good time. The show is brought to you by friends at Bud Light Seltzer, Michelob Ultra, Stateside Vodka, and Stateside Bourbon Diaz. Yep. Dave Babuso, State Farm.
You guys are funny, man.
Greater Philadelphia Health Action, Bucks County Baseball Company, Premier Window Cleaning, WeHateDirtyWindows.com.
That's
WeHateDirtyWindows.com. The Ludlam Bar and Grill, formerly La Costa in Sea Isle City. The beautiful ladies over at Cheerleaders. Echelon Health and Fitness, soon to be Echelon Health and Fitness in Audubon, New Jersey as well. And, of course, BetMGM, the newest sponsor of Green Legion Radio. Make sure you download the iHeart Radio app and rate, review, and subscribe to Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports, The Gambler, Philadelphia. Guys, we have a nice little crowd here at Center Bar at Live Casino in South Philadelphia. My excellent hosts and producers in the back, now official, the two beautiful interns, Lauren and Super Sam Brady.
We've got this backwards. They need to be in the front.
You're right. This is true. Something drastically wrong with this. And something drastically wrong with the internal sound, but that's okay. We'll talk about updates here later on. Producing the show tonight, Slash, the Gobbler. There it is.
My week.
To his left, Chris Sack, Sackmaster, Sack Attack, Reggie.
Woo-ha-ha.
Man.
Happy 10-year anniversary to Mark Sanchez and the butt fumble, by the way.
Wow. And the butt fumble.
The butt fumble. 10 years ago today.
That's excellent. Next to him, host of your Philadelphia Eagles Insider Podcast, Mr. Dave Spadaro.
Yeah. What's up, Dave Spuds?
Hi, guys.
We love you, Dave. Love Opposite you. Of me, former number one overall draft in the 1984 class. Wide receiver out of Nebraska, the Reverend, the Doctor, Mr. Style Irving Fryer.
I thought it was Indiana Jones over there.
No, you didn't see my photo shoot earlier. I did a photo shoot outside.
Man, you didn't let me finish. I was about to come fresh off the photo shoot.
Were you getting chased by a boulder?
No. Chased by a camera.
Please cut that. Were you getting chased by a boulder? Perfect.
Oh, Slash, I like you.
But.
Don't mess that up.
Had to get it in early.
And our special Philadelphia Eagles player guest this week, everybody from Los Angeles, California, sixth round pick, 198 overall, 23 years old, Mr. Grant Calcaterra. Yeah. Woo!
What's up?
Pleased to have you on the show, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Told you it would be a different kind of radio show. I think you get the sense of what it's all about,
so
right?
So far, so good. Yeah, I love it.
When the host does a shot of Jameson on every break or has an intern bring him shots when the breaks are too far away, then there you go. There you know. So, Grant, what we like to do on the show, we have 2 hours. We want to focus the first hour on getting to know you. We know you have a pretty damn interesting story to tell. Your road to the NFL has not been the same as, well, I can count on one hand how many people I know have been been taking the road to the NFL that you have.
Right.
So we're going to get into that. We're going to have some fun with it. Please have some fun with it. Everybody jump in with your questions for Grant at any point in time. I have been slowly losing my voice over the course of the season.
No way.
Awesome.
I can't tell. I can't tell.
I guess I'm hosting the rest of the show.
That's not going to happen.
Hey, please, somebody take this crap over, and I will stay at home and listen from the comfort of my couch.
All right.
You need some cough drops?
Don't tease us with a good time.
Yeah, really. We have three volunteers right here.
Nah, you know what? I don't even think I could do that because when we had Cam Jurgens and his beef jerky on last week, I'm chomping away. Apparently, Dave looks over at me. He's like, dude. Without saying a word, you are chewing too loud.
Too loud. Yeah. Chomp, chomp, chomp. By the way, that was great beef jerky. I didn't poop for 3 days.
Thank you for that.
That's good TMI, dude.
Nothing like talking about Spuds' bowel movements here on the program.
TMI, dude.
We're off to a great start.
And so, not that we need this to be the segue, but Grant, back to you.
What's the opposite of Spud's bowel movements? We've got Grant Calcutta.
That's it. All right, Grant. So, born in Los Angeles, you're 6'4", 240. Roughly, is that your playing weight right now? Where are you at?
Yeah, a little over 240. I've been hanging around there most of the season. So,
All right.
To stay there.
Do you put weight on or lose weight during the season? Which is the battle, losing weight or gaining weight?
For me, it's hard to keep it on just because of the amount of running that we do. And it's always a challenge for me is keeping my weight on during the season.
God, how many calories a day are you consuming to keep that on? Because I mean, you're lean. You can see.
Yeah. You know, I really have no idea. I just eat till I'm full, and then just keep eating.
And then keep eating.
That's the way.
A little bit more.
Yeah,
that's not the Quimby diet.
So is it
not anymore?
Is it difficult for you to maintain where you are?
Do you
struggle to do it? Or
I wouldn't say it's difficult. It's just definitely something that I got
to
stay on.
Right, you have to pay attention.
Yeah, I never really lose more than. I mean, I'm usually a pound plus or minus what my goal weight is whenever I weigh in. So I'm pretty consistent.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I wonder if players run more now in practice than they did when you played. Like back when you guys, it was.
I'm gonna guess no.
No, I mean certainly the practices are way shorter, Yeah.
Yeah, 2 a days when Irv was doing it. Maybe sometimes three.
Yeah, I wasn't going to make a comment on that, but probably.
But it was
probably.
More football, right? It wasn't like was it conditioning?
We did football. I mean, old school, we did football, and then at the end of the practice, we would run.
Right.
We would do conditioning in pads. You know, whether it was running 100-yard sprints or 50-yard sprints, whatever it was, we would do conditioning. That was old school way of doing things.
I'm sorry. I was working on the sound over here.
I thought you had more beef jerky over there.
Nope.
You having problems moving, too, with your bowels?
I have no problems moving just about anything right now, including that. All right, let's get back to a little history. So Santa Margarita Catholic, which, by the way, is my favorite Pinot Grigio and the only Pinot Grigio you ever need in your wine closet, Santa Margarita. I don't know if you know that.
No, I didn't know that. That's good to know.
Grant, was it a football powerhouse kind of school? There's some in L.A. that are really, really strong. Were you part of that football program?
I wouldn't say powerhouse, but it is in that same league as, like, Modern Day and St. John Bosco. It's called the Trinity League. There's, like, six teams. And, I mean, I went to public school growing up, but the reason I went to that high school was so I could play football at that level and try to get exposed that way.
Is high school football in California as big as high school football in Texas? Is it big like that?
That's a big debate. I feel like people in Texas care more about high school football.
Okay.
But I feel like the competition is the same. Mm-hmm. Or similar, you know.
And right before Herb jumped in there, I was going to say, Chris Sack's definition of expose is entirely different than yours, unfortunately.
Nice try.
Yeah, what are you talking about, man?
It would have been funnier if I didn't have to jump.
It wasn't funny at all.
Yeah.
As a junior, you caught 48 passes for 926 yards and 9 touchdowns. As a senior, 57 passes for 958 yards and 8 touchdowns. Named in a 2017 Under Armour All-America game. I want to know about that experience. I think that would be cool as hell. Talk about that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Looking back on it, I think it's cool because people you meet there, you kind of see how their whole journey goes in college and you kind of reconnect with guys. And then you also have guys that, you know, didn't get that exposure in high school and still made it to the NFL. Like my roommate, during the pre-draft process. Went to Montana State. You know, wasn't a big guy. Got drafted in the second round. So it's really cool to kind of see how everybody's journey turned out.
Yeah, I was going to ask, in that Under Armour game, who is in the NFL from that team?
Oh, man. Jerry Jeudy was on my team.
Wow.
I can't even remember. Well, Tyrese Robinson, who was my teammate at Oklahoma and is now here on the Eagles, was on that team. But shoot, you guys know what the Nike opening is, like that 7-on-7 thing?
Yes. So
my team won the whole thing, and my quarterback was Tua.
Jeez, wow.
I was the tight end. The other tight end was Trey McKitty for the Chargers. And our receivers were Jerry Jeudy for the Broncos, KJ Hamler for the Broncos.
you guys weren't stacked.
Yeah, Cam Akers was our running back.
Wow.
Najee Harris was our other running back.
Really?
Wow.
Who else? There were some defense.
Who was lining pockets on that draft?
Well, that's the thing, it was
pretty crazy.
I find so interesting about high school football now, that there's so much emphasis on 7-on-7. So you're not getting all the physical part of it, but you're learning, I guess, to play in space, run routes, develop as an athlete. Is that the whole concept?
Yeah, I feel like there's pros and cons, because I really feel like I was able to kind of, you know, be aware of space and route running and things like that, like zone coverage and man coverage and things like that. But I do feel like it's kind of gets away from what football really is like physical. You know what I mean? So,
Grant, talking about high school football, do you have a game or a specific moment or a play throughout the course of your high school career that sticks out to you? I mean, I know, like, when I played high school soccer, there's always games that you think about, moments, plays. Is there something that sticks out to you from your time in high school?
I have to say one of my games against Jay Serra, it was our biggest rival. It was my junior year. I obviously wanted to have kind of a breakout year, start getting recruited. And I had just two catches, but they were both, you know, 60 or 70 yard touchdowns, and you know, we won that game, and it was a big game, kind of a statement game for me and the whole team. So that's kind of one that I remember.
Is that your MO, just catching long yardage? You know, because you got one so far, but it was for 40 yards. You got to be chomping at the bit at this point.
Oh yeah, no, I'm always ready when my number's called, but maybe I would love for that to be my thing. Yeah.
Not a bad thing to have.
That'll be a great thing come contract time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All he does is make big plays.
Yeah, there it is.
We heard that before.
Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, we heard that before.
I thought you were too young for that.
Just a little bit.
He said touchdowns, though. All he does is make touchdowns.
So let's move on to your college career. As a freshman at Oklahoma, he played 14 games, caught 10 passes for 162 yards and 3 touchdowns. It's, you know, just all he does is catch touchdown passes. It's 30%.
Yeah.
That's a 30% touchdown catch ratio.
That's a good habit to have in the NFL.
Yeah. Your sophomore year in 2018, you appeared in 14 games, 26 catches, 396 yards and 6 touchdowns. First team all Big 12. You had a couple decent quarterbacks throwing to you over the course of your, you know, little Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield.
Yep, then Jalen for a year too. Yeah, I got really lucky. Yeah, we had some good times over there.
So we're gonna jump into this because it's an interesting story that Grant has to tell. You missed majority of 2019 season.
Yep.
Due to a concussion following the 2019 season, and we've seen this now, not only in college, but in the NFL, players retiring from suffering multiple concussions throughout your playing career. You did this, and you chose that road, and we want to hear your story, man, from the beginning to end, every little detail, because, you know, it's something that I think people should hear. It's something that we want to hear, and we want to hear it. We want to hear your side to this, because it takes, I think it takes a hell of a man to be able to step up and walk away. Step up and walk away. That is a very difficult single statement right there. So please, floor is yours, sir.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's such a long story, but
we have
time.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time.
You got a whole hour.
I guess I can start from the beginning then.
From the beginning.
Yeah. So in 2019, I got a concussion the week during practice before the Texas game. and that was my third concussion in one calendar year. So it was my third one, and, you know, they were really minor, to be honest. And, yeah, I mean, it took me a little bit to recover, you know, not too long, but there definitely was some time where I was kind of having, you know, some symptoms or whatever. But I got over it, and then talking with, you know, the doctors at Oklahoma, I actually went and saw a few other doctors around the country just to get as many opinions as I could. Really, really none of them told me that I had to stop playing. It was just kind of, you know, talking with me and my parents and, you know, people close to me at the time. I was just kind of ready. You know, I'd had a great college career up until that point. You know, I had done more than I thought I would ever do coming out of high school. And so I just kind of patted my, you know, patted myself on the back, you know, prided myself on a good college career. And I was kind of ready to be done at that point. So yeah, I just decided to step away. I was gonna go back to California and be a fireman was my plan. And so
real quick, the three concussions you had in the one calendar year, you putting your head down and trying to move forward, fluke, getting your bell rung by a good hits. What was?
Yeah, I mean, all kind of freak deals. Like the first one was a game against Texas when I was a sophomore. I just went up for a ball on like the first drive and just. Dude just kind of got me out of nowhere. And then the next one was in practice, just kind of a freak play. And then same thing with the third one. Yeah, just kind of freak deals. Like, no, nothing dirty, really. Just kind of part of football.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, no, please. This is open forum, please.
Why fireman? That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Why a fireman?
I really had I started having an interest in it when I went to college. I have a cousin who, is a fire captain and, back in the Midwest. And then also, like, growing up in California, it's honestly like a big career out there. You know, you can make a great living. The schedule's, you know, nice. And then what really drew me to it was just how similar it is, I felt like, to football. Like, I feel like, you know, when you're in the station, it's kind of like that locker room atmosphere. You're with all your close friends.
Brotherhood.
You're with them
nice.
All day.
Mm-hmm.
You have a special bond. And then obviously when, like, you know, stuff happens, you got to be on. You got to be ready to go. Just kind of like, it reminded me of football. It was really why I wanted to get into it.
How do you train to be a fireman? Like, do you...
That was my next question.
Do you go and just, like, do they give you courses? Like, what do you do? Do
you guys ever watch the beginning of the movie Evolution?
No.
No.
Sorry.
What was that? You're on a roll.
Yeah.
You're on a roll.
No.
But you only watch sex
Sean,
movies.
What's it? No.
I only watch sex movies. What do you mean?
That's why it was called Evolution.
Stifler. Stifler is one of the main characters, and he's training to be a firefighter.
Sounds about right.
It's hysterical. Anyway.
His brain is still frozen from Indianapolis.
By the way, Grant, I do not like any of my co-hosts.
That's
okay.
That's obvious.
That's because we tell the truth.
That's right.
And the truth hurts.
Yeah, what do you do to become a, how does one become a fireman?
I mean, at least when I was doing it, a lot of it's kind of on your own. Like you, there are certain physical, tests that you have to take to be able to even apply to be a fireman. So the one that, there's something called the Biddle physical exam, which does, you know, if you pass that, you're eligible for like 50% of departments. And then the other one is the CPAP, which I did, which you can basically apply to any department in California. So that's the one I did. Trying to remember everything that you do, but the first part of it, you have to do it all these things within a certain time limit. So you go to this warehouse and there's a bunch of obstacle courses basically set up. The first one is you have like a weighted vest on, you have to do like 300 flights of stairs on a Stairmaster. So you do that.
Hey, I got that.
Yeah, you get off and then you do like drag a rope through all these cones, you know, you stack a ladder, you climb through a dark tunnel when there's like stuff in your way, you gotta get around them.
It's like Navy SEALs.
Yeah,
way.
You like breathe.
Yeah, right.
There's like a drill where.
Well,
you like
I mean, it's got to. It's one of the most deadly situations you're putting yourself in
on a
regular basis.
For sure,
I completely understand that.
Wait, you have to wait. You spoke over his last one. You have to learn how to drill through a ceiling.
Yeah, you got. It's like this. This like axe, and you got to like go through the ceiling with it. You got to carry like a few saws around a little obstacle course. It's like it's not that hard, really, but it's just. There's certain things that'll fail you right away. Like
right.
You got to really be on it, and obviously you got to be in shape. Like I had a couple guys before me didn't pass.
Real quick, we're jumping a little back and forth because our room wants to ask a question. The unhappy Gilmore Back to your player weight. If a player goes outside their weight window, then it's $800 per pound for the fine. Is that accurate?
True. Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yikes.
That's always been the case. I don't know if it was always $800, but if there are guys who are supposed to, or players who are supposed to maintain a certain weight and not go above that weight, if they do go above that weight, they get fined per pound. It's always been like
so
that.
So is Eddie Lacy broke?
Probably.
Perfect. Where's the money go, by the way?
Yeah, right?
I forget.
It goes to charity. I don't know what charity, but it goes to some charity.
It's a 50-50.
And we're going to talk more about this when we come back from our first break. Everybody, upcoming entertainment here at Live Casino Philadelphia. Jefferson Starship, December 9th. Matt Frazier.
We built this city.
Who did it?
Was it Spuds? You know it was
awesome.
Spuds.
Karaoke Spuds.
Matt Frazier, Saturday, December 10th and Sunday, December 11th. Soultown Motown. Holiday show. Sunday, December 18th. Bobby Collins, Saturday, February 18th, 2023. Tickets on sale now at livecasinophilly.com. That's livecasinophilly.com. Everybody, this is the Green Legion Radio Player Show with tight end Grant Calcaterra telling his story, which is extremely interesting. If you want to hear just an interesting road to the NFL and a difficult one, stick with us here on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia from Live Casino in South Philadelphia. We'll be back right after this. All right, everybody, Green Legion Radio Player Show with Super Sam Brady, Intern Lauren, / producing, Sackmaster, host of your Philadelphia Eagles Insider Podcast, Mr. Dave Spadaro.
Hello.
Legendary NFL wide receiver, the Reverend, the Dr. Irving Fryer, and Philadelphia Eagles tight end, Grant Calcaterra.
Yes, sir. In the house.
Everybody, do not forget this Sunday night, the Green Bay game. After the pregame show at Xfinity Live, Irving Fryer will be sitting right here enjoying the game with anybody who wants to join it. What are we looking at? Oh, okay. Yep. Sixers just went up 6. Got it. Irv will be right here joining everybody that wants to watch the game and enjoy their time here at Live Casino South Philadelphia, our biggest sponsor this year. BetMGM, everybody. BetMGM. Up to $1,000 risk-free wager. Just go to BetMGM, code GREEN. Code GREEN.
That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
There's only one. There's only one.
Right.
All right. So code GREEN, and you'll get that $1,000 risk-free wager through the Green Legion. Again.
Is that for first-time users, or is it for anybody? Because I've already used BetMGM.
Yeah, first-time users.
Damn it.
First-time users. Sorry, you get no more.
Okay. No thousand nice. For you, my friend.
Maybe I'll sign up under my wife's name again.
There you go.
All right, so, Grant, we were talking about your decision to retire. You guys. Your decision to retire from the game.
Yeah.
And you were about to pursue a career as a fireman.
Yep.
Tell us what happened from there.
Yeah, so first thing I did was I went to EMT school, got my EMT license.
And by the way, we all thank you for anything in that realm that you were going to do. The Green Legion is a big supporter of first responders.
Oh, yeah.
Unsung heroes, no doubt about it.
Without question. Yeah, thank definitely. You, Dave.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't really do a whole lot, but I appreciate it. But, yeah, so I
Well, you might have to. If you keep drinking like that, you might have to do something here.
I still got my license, so. Yeah, I still got the license.
Good. I feel like there's a safe haven here this evening.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, tip it up.
Well, for at least the next half hour.
Okay.
After you leave. He's screwed.
I'm not coming back.
If you run the hell out of here. Once he knows the check cashes, he's good.
Hey, Grant's smart. Not only is he tough, but he's smart.
Yeah. So I went to EMT school in Arizona, got my license, and then I actually enrolled in fire technology classes at community college back home.
Describe that, please. Fire technology classes.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways you can get into a department, and one of them is you go to community college, take all these classes, and then they take you through a fire academy. And then so you have a fire academy under your belt, and departments really like that. It makes you an easier candidate to hire. Okay. So I was planning on doing that. I was going to school. I was also working construction, working at schools and stuff. And that was just to have that on my resume, get some knowledge of building construction. It helps as a fireman. And so I did that for a while. Was getting interviewed by Los Angeles City Fire.
I have this vision of you like on the roof of a building, wiping the sweat off of your brow and looking
Dave, control yourself.
And looking off in the distance. Looking off in the distance. Looking off in the distance and seeing football practice going on and going, man.
Yeah, well, it was up there for a second, then it went right back down. Right?
I went with Spuds of Smoke in the night because that was a fantastic visual. You painted the picture.
It's like Shawshank Redemption. It was like
that was a
Shawshank Redemption.
Guys on the roof of the building with the guitar. Come on.
All I require is three beers for each of my coworkers.
I'm a writer. I create,
pictures.
Exactly.
Work.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank you. All right, go ahead. Keep going, Greg.
I got a cramp in my calf from that. I got a cramp in my calf.
Hydrate. Well, maybe it turned you on.
No.
That's a different kind of cramp on his calf.
That's a different kind of cramp, yeah. And that's a different area, too.
That wasn't the intention, Irv. I can't control where your mind's going.
All right.
You've been hanging around Quimby too long.
No. I do not hang with Quimby.
This show's off the rails already. Grant, please, continue.
Yeah, so,
good radio.
So I actually got hired by Care Ambulance. It's a private ambulance company in Southern California. And so I was due to start my first day of work on August 1st, and I decided to come play football on July 31st. So the day before my first day of work, I decided
Why?
To.
How? What?
I mean, it had been on my mind, obviously, and
because of the picture that Dave was just
exactly sweat on your brow.
I spent a lot of time on the roof,
visualizing,
looking over at practice,
seeing the players,
middle school, exactly right.
Looking at Edison
and
High School.
We have just muted the rest of the panel except Grant, so he can get the story out.
Yeah, no. So that was pretty much it. I mean, it had been on my mind forever. You know, watching the draft and everything, and I knew that I could be right up there with those guys getting picked, and so I figured I wanted to take another shot at it. And if I wanted to take another shot, my only chance was right now. So I just decided to go for it.
All right. Next question for you. Yeah. Kind of good segue. So your decision at that point was Auburn.
Yeah. Well, I wanted. Yeah.
And then at the time, SMU. So. What was the what was the reasoning there?
Well, I ended up not going to Auburn because their whole staff had gotten fired like a month before I was supposed to go there, and so I was going to go to a number of different schools after that, and then most of them actually wouldn't medically clear me. So I was.
But SMU, who's SMU about as liberal as a football team there is.
Yes.
But why wouldn't they clear you, though? Was it still the concussion issue, or did they think you were still concussion prone?
Yeah, they just didn't want to be liable if anything happened. And I was even telling them, I was like, hey, I'll sign a waiver of liability. Like, and, there were there was a handful of schools. SMU was kind of like the last. I was lucky that they let me go there because I would have had trouble going anywhere else.
You're obviously a very highly regarded player, but I'm curious. I mean, you didn't have an agent in theory. So, like, how do you actually get the word out to schools that you want to get back into the game? How are they aware?
That's a great question.
That you want to play?
Yeah, I put something out on Twitter. And
interesting.
Yeah,
and wow. Social media isn't completely useless.
Yes. Yeah. No. I feel like honestly, college football, the college football recruiting world, Twitter's like really big, and so I mean, obviously, a lot of my friends, you know, I'd send it out and everything to kind of help me, and so I got a bunch of looks that way. It was kind of how that all happened.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different now. Different.
All right. So you're moving on to 2021 season. He appeared in 11 games, caught 38 passes for 465 yards and 4 touchdowns, second team all AAC. And I don't know, man, it's a pretty crazy accolade for somebody who was medically retired from the game the year before. knowing that you're getting back in the mix, what was your training regimen to get back into football shape, knowing full well that contact was probably a majority of the repertoire?
Yeah, so I went and saw a doctor in Pittsburgh. His name is Mickey Collins, and he kind of thought that my weakness in terms of head injuries was my vestibular system, which is basically the system that makes you dizzy, like if you get seasick or car sick or
Motion patches in my bag right now if you need one.
Yeah, no, I'm good now. Yeah, but
that's for his waterbed.
So I did. He taught me a bunch of exercises to do to kind of help with that. So I did that.
Exercises? And what kind of exercises?
It's honestly a bunch of exercises that make you dizzy. So there'd be like, I'd have somebody with a football. I'd be flipping around like real quick, literally just trying to make myself dizzy.
Okay.
And not a career in figure skating coming up for you.
No. I mean, I'm good now. I don't really get dizzy at all. And
so you actually trained yourself.
Yeah,
I would do exercise.
I did it a lot. Yeah. And in tune, like after a while, those exercises would make me dizzy.
So literally training the brain.
That's
really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know what it is? It's called getting your sea legs. Now, the next time a doctor says that, will you at least ask him, does a lot of deep sea fishing count? Because it's a hell of a lot more fun than what you were talking about.
I feel like it would. I feel like that would count.
No, in all fairness, you guys know my story. Fishing is probably my biggest vice.
Yeah.
Deep sea fishing, not smallmouth bass fishing on a pond.
Minnows at Petco.
I'm going after the stuff that can
stock
pull you
legs.
In. And I had to stop this because I get violently ill on the water.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it wasn't until about 20 years ago that my roommate in my Avalon Shore house introduced me to the patch.
Yep.
Where I could literally get back and not feel a thing, but function well enough under any, motion circumstance on the water where I could continue to fish. And your situation is different because it's somebody that's going to be on a boat all the time has to get their sea legs. They have to train their brain to get used to this.
To the swells.
To the swells. I don't have to do that because I only do it recreationally.
Right.
But I can't imagine what that would have felt like. How many times did you get ill while training for this? That's got to be...
I mean, I wouldn't say I ever got ill. I would just... it would take me a second to get my bearings straight for a second. Mm-hmm. Really.
Grant, how long did it take for you to figure out that you were going to be okay on the football field? Was it the first game? Was it the first practice? Was it the first time you got hit? Like, to where you really started to feel comfortable out there, where you didn't play? Not saying that you were playing with fear that it would happen again, but that you knew you were going to be okay.
Yeah, I feel like it was probably in spring practice. I mean, they definitely tried to tell everybody not to really tee off on me, but it's football, it happens. And so, I mean, I took a couple shots in spring ball and got up just fine, and that kind of, I knew I was fine. It's just kind of like riding a bike at that point. Like, you've done it so many times, and it was just right back into it for me.
I don't want to speed through that season. I don't know how many more questions you have, but I'm curious, like, when you got to the point of pre-draft and teams are looking at you, and how many questions did you have to ask? How did you convince teams that you were okay?
Yeah, I mean, I every single team, because at the Senior Bowl you talk to every team, so literally every single team was almost all they wanted to talk to me about.
And this is after you got through your senior year at SMU healthy.
Yep.
You still had to go through that crap.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure a lot of the teams were off the board for me at that point. Just because of the whole concussion thing. I mean, I know there were a lot of teams that were that way, so it only takes one at the end of the day.
Do you think that had an impact on your draft?
Yeah, I do think so. Because I feel like talent-wise, I was just as good as, a lot of those other guys coming out. But, I think it did have an impact, but... I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like I'm in a great spot right now.
Were you in the draft round range where you expected to be taken? Like, were you projected like third, fourth, but you fell to sixth?
No,
like,
I was
right
about,
where you're supposed to be?
I was about there. I mean, I felt talent-wise, I was really, a mid-round guy. But Yeah, I knew it was definitely going to impact. My head injuries was definitely going to impact where I ended up.
Have you had any symptoms at all, anything that rung your bell since coming back to the game?
No, not at all, really. I mean, I've taken hits just like everybody else, but, you know, nothing more than, you know, your normal feeling after taking a big hit. Yeah, nothing bad at all.
And I think it's interesting, like, I'm sure you've talked about it more in these last 40 minutes than you've talked about it at all from the time you got to NovaCare after the initial press conferences. Nobody has, it's not even an issue, which I think is great. You are Grant Calcaterra football player, not Grant Calcaterra football player with a past of concussions.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
So I think sometimes as players, we have to be careful because we called it back in the day getting your bell rung.
Yeah.
That was a normal thing. So you really didn't think anything was wrong with you getting your bell rung. You just
and this waited. Is why we have to put up with Jaws as he is right
well,
now.
But it was a normal feeling. It was a part of football. So you have to really be able to identify between the two, whether you've really been concussed a little bit or whether it was just a hard hit.
And that's what makes it tough because, right. You know, it's not like a broken bone where it's like it's broken or it's not.
Right.
It's like you really got to think about it.
And are you not? Yes. Yeah,
and now the two, but now the Tua rule is if you have any movement that's wavering or any if the independent observer sees you waver in any way and there's even a suspicion of a head injury, you're out for the game.
Right, right.
I mean, if anybody goes down and that's called fencing,
yes.
What he did with his hands, if anybody does that, I mean, I feel like...
He's knocked out because he's locked up.
Yeah.
But there have been times I know I've gotten my bell rung and I had no symptoms. I wasn't swaying. I was able to continue to play, actually. I get in the huddle and tell the quarterback, listen, don't throw the ball to me on this play because I'm not right for the ball right now. And by the next play, I was okay.
So were you ever diagnosed with a concussion?
I've been diagnosed with 12 concussions.
Okay.
But I've had a whole bunch of other ones.
Right, right.
There's no telling, really.
Yeah, there's no telling. Yeah.
I do have more questions for you about this when we come back. And we'll get off that topic because we want to talk, you know, more about your career and what you expect, what you want to do, what your goals are. And we'll do that when we come back. Don't hang out alone in the man cave for football this season. Try hanging out at Cheerleaders with sexy entertainers, $4 domestic beers, Jameson specials, and awesome game day prizes during all Sunday and Monday football games. That's right. Stop in before, during, or after the game, not only to see your favorite entertainers, but also your chance to win an awesome game day prize. The most epic game day experience is at Cheerleaders Gentlemen's Club, where champions play. Cheerleaders is open daily from noon until 2 a.m., everybody, this is the Green Legion Radio Player Show with Philadelphia Eagles tight end Grant Calcaterra.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! We have him for one more short segment on the way back in. We are live from Live Casino, South Philly, on 102.5 FM, Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be back right after this. Jansen, I think on the... during the second hour, we need a little bit more Soul Town to Motown hits for Herb.
Or just Jefferson Starship.
Or just Jefferson Starship.
Wow, really?
You want some Creed? Got it. I got you.
Was that the Flyers? That was the Flyers pep rally song at Edge, whatever that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Move on.
I remember talking about the Flyers.
Everybody, this is the Green Legion Radio Players Show. From Live Casino, South Philadelphia, with special guest Philadelphia Eagles tight end Grant Calcaterra. On your 9-1 Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, there we go.
Best record in the league.
Yep.
You guys here at Live Casino, Ron Jaworski's $100,000 football challenge. Make your picks against Ron each week for your chance to win Jaws tickets to the big game and over 100,000 in prizes. Pick the winning teams once each week to be a weekly winner. There will be over 250 winners for the season. Visit livecasinophilly.com, livecasinophilly.com to make your picks. Grant, I just had one other question, if it's okay with you, about the concussion thing. And then let's talk about this team. Let's talk about your role. Let's talk about the locker room. Let's talk about the energy right now because Well, we're going to get into that. The last question I have actually is, when you did have your series of concussions, your three within one calendar year, I don't think a lot of people are completely, I've never had a concussion.
That you know of.
Really?
I was going to say, you sure?
Really?
No way in the world.
Everybody's afraid to knock the snot out of me, so we're good.
Sure.
All right?
I think he just gave us an invitation.
I think so.
Afraid you just have Rex had watching you.
Never had a concussion. All right? Falling, hitting the back of my head, going, all right, you know, spin for a second, good to go. But what, when you were hit, what were your physical qualities, what happened to you? Because they're different also for everybody.
Yeah.
And they're different.
Yeah. No, I feel like mine were pretty standard. Just sensitivity to light and noise, trouble kind of remembering things at first. Just kind of feel like not myself, just kind of standing on the sideline like, oh, man, I just don't feel right. That lasts for a couple days. I remember just sitting in my room, I wanted to keep the noise and the light low. And then,
like one of the worst hangovers you've ever had?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Kind of
feels
like that.
Then I've had a lot of concussions over the years.
Yeah.
Those are hangovers, Quimby.
Yeah, nothing major, really.
All right, but it's still scary.
Yeah.
It's when your brain is not functioning properly, and we have a shining example of that behind us. Just in case you want, Sam, is it okay to say?
Yeah.
All right. Our Super Sam Brady back here has had two softball-sized tumors removed from her brain.
Oh, my God.
And she's proud of it. She looks like she's proud of it.
That's not from football.
No, it's not from football.
Unbelievable.
And
she is a survivor. She's a tough,
good
tough girl.
Guess what? Yeah, out of everybody on this table, that's the toughest bitch here.
Yeah.
No,
sure.
No question.
Yeah, sure.
No question.
Thanks for calling us bitches, Quimby.
Yeah.
Well,
if the shoe fits.
Shaq, you make it easy. That being said, and I want everybody else to weigh in on this, but Grant, just talk about your decision. It's a segue. It's not long. To come back to football and then being drafted by a team represented by a city filled with nothing but complete idiots. And I know because I make my living off of every one of these complete idiots.
No, it was the best feeling in the world. Just kind of, just thinking back on everything that I had gone through, stepping away and then even the decision to come back, a lot of people thought that was even dumber. So just to kind of go through that and then eventually get the call, it didn't matter, when it was or anything like that. I was just so happy, and I was happy to have all my family there, and it's been my biggest accomplishment in life so far is that whole journey and being here now.
Grant, I asked this question to Cam Jurgens last week. Had you ever been to Philadelphia prior to being drafted here, and what's the difference between the West Coast and the East Coast? I think all of us know that, but you're the one that's living it. You've lived in the West Coast, and now you live in the East Coast and Northeast especially. Why don't you tell a little about what you've noticed with the differences?
So I had never been to Philly. I don't even know if I'd flown through Philly.
Not quite sure how to spell it.
It's a lot of letters, for sure.
Yeah. He hasn't said Philadelphia yet. It's all been Philly.
It's easy.
And, man, there's so many differences. The weather being the first one, it's obviously starting to get cold here now.
Mm. Did you go outside your hotel room this weekend?
I did, yeah. It was very cold.
Mm-hmm.
It was very cold.
Yeah, you got
there.
A thin jacket on there, too, buddy.
Yeah.
You may want to buy something a little bit thicker.
I did. I bought my first insulated jacket the other day. I wore it yesterday.
We know you didn't bring anything like that from California to the East Coast.
No, I just got a bunch of T-shirts and shorts.
Yeah,
I ordered some sweatpants last week, too.
Nice.
So a full collection of slides. We got it.
So Goddard, you find out Goddard goes down.
Yeah.
Now your role increases.
Right. Yeah.
Is there anything you had to change? Did you have to shift in mindset in any kind of way? What did you go through? Take us through that whole journey in your mind and physically as you now you're playing a bigger role in the offense.
Yeah, no, I really try to just stick to a process each week. I really prepare as if I'm going to get, you know, 90 snaps a game, because as we all have seen, you know, it's just one play away. Mm-hmm. And ever since I got here, they've kind of, you know, my role has been, you know, if anything happens to Dallas, you need to be able to step in there and do what you can. And so that's kind of how I see it. You know, I feel like I stick to a process each week, and you know, if it ever, you know, obviously if something like this happens, I'm feeling ready to go. So,
what part of your game do you need to work on the most right now?
Right now, I mean, with getting more snaps, I think it's just the, I mean, I feel like my biggest strength is probably my impact in the passing game, and obviously Dallas is such a great blocker and a great route runner. I mean, he's a complete tight end, and I feel like I'm not as complete in the run game as an inline blocker, but you know, I've definitely made strides this year.
All right, on Sunday you had 19 snaps, Grant. Take us through what your responsibilities were as you went back and kind of reviewed things. How, if you've done that yet? Because I know you're off. But what? How did you play? What were you pleased with? Did you get open a lot? Did you feel you blocked well? I think you got kind of called for a holding call, which was very questionable to everyone. But go ahead and take us through the 19 snaps.
Yeah, no, I think I played decent. You know, I had some good plays, had some not so good plays, obviously the holding call. But I feel like for my first, you know, my first time going out there being a bigger contributor, you know, I feel like I did okay. And, you know, now all I can do is get to practice this week and just keep getting better. So I'm ready to, you know, develop my role and, you know, continue to get better and help the team out in any way that I can.
What's your level of confidence running routes that you're going to get open?
Oh, I'm very confident. You know, I obviously I've gotten so much better since I got in here. You know, Jay Mike's been helping me with, you know, technique, and obviously having a guy like Dallas in the room, I really try to bounce things off him and try to get better. And I feel really confident every time I'm out there.
I'm not sure fans really appreciate just how good Dallas is. You know, now that you've been up close with him for the last several months, what makes him so special?
He's just got that,
his
like
beard
freakiness to him. You know, like, we all know athletes who just have, like, you don't really, you can't really explain it. He just got that kind of freakiness to him where he's just so physical at the point of attack when he's blocking. And also he's just such a freak athlete where he can get open in the passing game.
No fear at all.
No, yeah, he just goes out there. He's like a bull in a china shop. He gets the ball in his hand.
It actually makes us scared at times with the way, no, seriously.
Please.
No, it does. Like, just watching him and how he contorts.
Yeah. So, he's really, really good.
Quimby in the stands.
You're talking about.
I'm so scared, Dallas. And Zach and Spuds are muted for the rest of this segment.
You're talking about running your routes and you're confident and being able to get open. How much does this offense and the route combinations, how much does that help you in your ability to get open?
I feel like it helps a lot. I feel like they put each of us in positions where they know our strengths. Mm-hmm. And so I always feel like routes that I'm running, I've ran 100 times in practice, and I always feel confident that I'm doing it the right way.
Cool.
Just don't get Quimby scared.
Yeah.
I want to let you know what I did to your hometown, sort of, in 2017.
Well, I'm from South LA, so.
Yeah. Well, okay. In Santa Monica.
Okay.
The game where, unfortunately, Carson went down and Nick Foles took over and led us to a Super Bowl. I remember running into Ari Reutemann walking out of the stadium, and Ari didn't even say a word to me, Dave. He looked at me and just went like this, because he already knew what had taken place.
Yep.
But before then, I closed down the Santa Monica Pier with 1,600 people for our pregame tailgate.
Oh, nice.
Including the most impressive, having the In-N-Out burger truck.
Nice.
Up on, providing double doubles animal style.
I will just say that my unsolicited opinion is that the In-N-Out, is that what you said, the In-N-Out burger?
Yes.
Is an overrated burger. I mean, I'll take the steak and shake.
And once again, here goes Dave on the mute.
There's a bucket of cold water.
He did
water.
Say his unsolicited opinion.
Nah, that's all good. Grant, thank you so much for being here today.
Excellent
guest, man. And thank you for sharing your story with us.
It's good luck, man. Keep getting better.
Yep. Yeah.
Have a big game on Sunday night. Do you let, by the way, the Eagles are wearing black on black helmets,
awesome.
Black jerseys.
Nice. Blackout.
Any thoughts on the blackout? You like that kind of stuff?
Yeah. No, I saw it today. It's going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, real excited about it.
That's prime awesome. Time, another prime time game.
Spuds
love it.
Prophesied last week.
Do you know how to spell that?
Prophesized.
Yeah, prophesied, not yeah. prophesized.
Oh, prophesied.
You're a prophet.
Okay.
You're supersized. You're foretelling the future.
Yes, okay.
About how good of a career you were getting ready to have.
Absolutely.
Now that God is down and you're in and, you know, you're spending more time on the field and contributing more, that your career is about to take off.
Yes.
Oh, we'll see.
That was
we'll
a prophecy see. Last
yes.
week.
And if you score a touchdown on Sunday night, Quimby gives you his
oh,
car.
Yes. Hold on a second.
Right.
Yes. That is
yes.
it. All right. We haven't done this in a little while.
No.
We did when you were away.
No,
you just didn't know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Cam Jurgens would have no reason.
Right.
He's not going to make a play.
Right.
You never know. He lined up at wideout a couple weeks ago.
And plus, I don't think he would have been able to fit in that car.
Cam, apparently everybody believes I have a pretty nice vehicle. If, in fact, it's you nice. Score a touchdown this week, Sunday night.
Yeah.
All right. You get my car for a week.
It's a sweet card.
It's something
too.
We do every
I'll take it. I don't know if I'll give it back.
He's going to be in the huddle. He's going to make Jalen throw me the ball.
Boston Scott put on how many miles?
1,700.
1,700 miles.
And blocks on the pedals. So he can reach them.
Everybody, the Green Legion Radio Player Show here on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia from Live Casino in South Philadelphia. Our special guest this evening, we're going to say goodbye to him. He's going to take some photos with everybody. Philadelphia Eagles tight end Grant Calcaterra.
Yeah.
Kick his ass, Seabass.
Kick some ass on Sunday, man.
You guys, right. We'll be back right. top of the hour with game evaluation from Sunday. We'll be back right after this.
Oh, God.
Because you didn't answer the question.
It's a great song, though.
Fairly, man.
I got to find my run sheet. I don't even know where it is.
Excellent radio.
Here.
Oh, it's a different one.
Yeah.
Oh, listen to that guitar.
All right, everybody, Green Legion Radio Player Show now. The Green Legion Radio. You guys, we are at Center Bars. Great crowd. A lot of energy. Everybody's here for Grant Calcaterra. Great guest. Great story.
Awesome.
Very inspirational. Hey, seriously.
Yeah, seriously.
Got to give it up to somebody that, you know, went through that. I mean, the internal trials and tribulations
right.
that you have to face. I mean, you know, that's a therapy session every day as far as I'm concerned for as long as it was.
And I think it's good to touch on that and to talk about that because a lot of people aren't aware of how serious concussions are. And, you know, it's educational for them. And
you
also
know what?
Gives them signs to look for.
You know what else, Zach? What else is, hey, man, if you don't feel comfortable with this, don't let anybody pressure you and continue to play the game. You know, step away.
That's changed.
It's your life. It's your health.
That's changed.
But that's a big deal, Irv,
yes.
because back in the day, everybody would have just called a player out and said, get back on the horse. Dave, go ahead.
No, I wonder, Irv, how do you feel? I know a lot of former players feel like today's players are pampered. The practices are so easy. Maybe the football's not as good. They're not taught to be technique proper tackling. It's not as tough. I wonder how you feel about the way concussions are treated in the league and what a player like Grant goes through. What are your thoughts on that?
I think they're doing a great job of you know, not just making everybody aware of it, but how they're dealing with concussions and being very, you know, if they're going to error, they error on the side of caution. Because you've seen it. There have been players who have committed suicide. There have been players who struggle just in their everyday lives because of the CTE and the concussions or the aftermath of these concussions. So it's different now, and it's good. It's a good thing. I don't see it as a former player who played during a time when you got a concussion. They made you feel as though you are guilty if you don't get back. They made you feel guilty
exactly.
if you didn't get back on the field. They made you feel like you were letting your teammates down. You're letting your family down. You're letting yourself down. You weren't a tough guy. You weren't a football player.
It's a whole different
mindset now. And I wish that had been the case when I was playing. I wouldn't I wouldn't have some of the issues I have.
And this really has started.
And we wouldn't have to deal with them.
This really has started to become like a big thing in all sports over the last 20, 25 years. And we had one of the bigger stories about that with how the Flyers and the Eric Lindros situation wound up going. When he was inducted into the Hall of Fame 5-6 years ago, hit both him and his brother, they really started the concussion movement. And it's done a lot of great and a lot of good for these players that used to not know what was going on. Now they know what's going on and what to expect.
I'm also going to say at the same time, I'm not quite sure about Ben Simmons last year. But, hey.
I will say this. It always makes me a little...
Was he supposed to be concussed?
No.
It makes me uncomfortable when people kind of laugh about...
He just didn't want to have the ball.
People kind of laugh about concussion. Maybe it's nervous laughter or something, but I feel very...
I would never
that.
Laugh about a concussion.
People go, oh, he got his bell rung. Oh, ho, ho, ho. You know, like
you
it's
can't
weird.
See straight.
It's weird because in the NFL, the league has celebrated, a lot of people like, the league celebrates big hits.
Well, that's
and
what
that's,
it was.
Exactly.
When I was playing, you wanted
that's
to get
I mean.
The big
yeah.
hits. You wanted to knock him, his, you wanted to ring his bell.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted to do.
Well, yeah. They got rid of Jacked Up on the Monday Night Football segment. They don't have that anymore.
Yeah,
because,
right.
Because that's when that concussion movie came out with Will Smith.
Is that Patti LaBelle?
Patti LaBelle.
Patti LaBelle, yeah.
You can All right, you guys, I want to talk about this game. I'm
Jansen, cue that up next break.
That's more Creed.
All right. I've been thinking about this, and I thought about past instances. All right. This is going to be difficult for me to get my message across, but I will because I'm going to mute all of you until I do. I watched, and Dave will be able to attest to this more than Irv and Sack. I watched an A.J. Feely-led Eagles in New England drop one we should have won because the colossal slob decided to throw deep from the 30 with less than 2 minutes left.
Can you let the audience
down
know?
Down by Chip
Kelly.
No. Colossal slob, Andy Reid.
Oh, Andy Reid.
We're going back that far.
His point.
Because we were there when Westbrook was gaining 4 to 5 yards every single play, running the clock out. Why do you want to give the ball back to Tom Brady? I watched a hurry-up offense in the 2019 division playoff game against the New Orleans Saints when we had to rush to get a playoff before the two-minute warning. And at the 25-yard line, and Alshon Jeffrey.
Here's Quimby. Here's his point. Here's his story.
Yeah. I want to know why they were trying to get as many plays in as possible when I thought, look, this is Grant. Thanks again, brother. Appreciate it.
Take care, Grant.
See you, Sam.
I want to know why they were in the hurry up when you should have given that team no time left on the clock when you were ready to score. I know you're giving me that look.
Oh, at the end of the game?
At the end of the game, yes.
Of everything that happened on Sunday, you're picking out the way the Eagles went down and used the time when they scored the touchdown to put the winning points on the board, and then the defense came out.
Yes,
and stopped.
You want to know why? Because they acted like a 1-8 team, not an 8-1 team.
No, they didn't.
What are you talking about?
All right, first of all.
They put too much time on the clock?
They left too much time.
There was a minute and 28 seconds
left. It was
left.
Third and goal.
To Matt Ryan.
Who
and the defense
had been moving the ball all day.
No, he had not.
Outside of that first drive.
The Colts were in great field position the whole third quarter.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt, and I know you hate when I do it. I'm sitting with 200 other Eagles fans, and every single one of us are asking the same damn question.
Wait, what did you want them to do?
I wanted them to score at the very end with no time. You're rushing from the 20 or 25-yard line with 3 minutes to go. There's no reason for it unless your plan unless your plan is we're not going to be able to score. We have to score. We have to kick a field goal and then have to get the ball back and do it again, which you didn't have enough timeouts to do anyway because you burned one in the beginning of the third because you couldn't get a playoff.
How many points did the Eagles have before that drive?
They weren't scoring that.
They weren't scoring, so you can't pick and choose what you're going to do.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
How many points did your defense give up that game?
They gave up 16.
Exactly. So you got to look at the integrity of the game and the situation in the game. You can't pick and choose how you're going to win the game. You got to go out there and trust your defense.
You
got to
score when you can. You can't wait.
So you guys thought that they were going to be able to trust their defense.
Yes.
Outside of the first drive, they did. Gave up three field goals.
The defense played exceptional in the second
half. Why don't we all mute Quimby? Why don't we mute Quimby for the rest
of the game? Yeah, Q, I'm not going
to
lie.
I'll go sit at the bar with Rexy the rest of the
game. Q, I've known you for 2.5 years now. That might be one of your worst takes of all time.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I mean, so the Eagles trusted their defense, and what happened? The defense got a stop. The defense didn't let them do it. They had one first down.
The defense had been
stopping. The defense
stopping
did
them.
Its job.
They had been
so what
stopping.
Exactly is the problem?
I didn't.
You want to bitch about the first three quarters? God, that's what I was expecting.
Well,
the play calling the first three quarters.
I mean, that was it. I thought the play calling was flat.
Yeah.
I
think the offense, my opinion, in the first half, the offense had penalties. Four of them in the first half. Four of them in the first quarter.
That was brutal.
Three back to back. That's what killed the drive. In the second half, they turned the ball over twice.
Right.
It wasn't the play calling. They self-inflicted wounds.
I don't think it was a play calling. There were too many penalties.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you exactly where you're wrong.
Can I finish?
Yes, but I'm going to tell you where you're wrong.
Okay. You don't interrupt like you don't want us to interrupt. Let me say what I need to say, dog snappy.
Thank you. Interrupt me all the time.
I know I do.
Oh, there's the classic.
But you mute me. So I think what we saw was offensively how much they miss Dallas Goedert.
Okay. Well, we're about to talk about the same thing. All right. Was this offense so inept or flat in the first half because Jack Stoll was only targeted one time, one reception for 7 yards.
But Jack Stoll is not Dallas Goedert.
It doesn't matter. The guy can still catch the ball.
Yeah, but he can't do what Dallas does.
Okay,
and he doesn't influence a defense like Dallas does.
Of course he doesn't, but you got to keep the defense honest. You completely removed the tight end from the offensive game plan this week.
They didn't completely remove
him. Yeah,
Dallas Goedert was removed.
Okay, but
how many 12 personnel did they have?
They're limited in what they can do because they can't do what Dallas can do.
I literally hate every one of you right now.
Because you don't know what you're. I don't know what
you're not making sense.
You're not.
I'm not even drunk yet. I'm working on.
Maybe you need to be.
Don't get drunk tonight.
Did they not play off a lot of 12 personnel and try to get the tight ends involved?
Right, they did.
They did.
But they ran 11 a lot. They do not do what Dallas can do.
Exactly. All right, we get that, but are we that slacking in the reserve role?
I agree with you there.
Well,
there's that. You got three guys that probably don't even equal to what Dallas
right.
got to do.
I want to see Jack. I want to see Grant.
That's how good
which is fine.
Dallas is.
Yeah, but you want to see Zach Pascal, Quez Watkins, or Grant Calcaterra and Tyree Jackson playing in his second NFL game.
I think this Eagles team has focused on a tight end, a tight end that is included in this offense in a balanced attack forever. And this is the first game that I have seen in years where it looked like from a receiver, from a targeting standpoint, they ignored the tight end position.
Well, they threw instead to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And honestly, I'd rather throw to Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown
and
than just about anybody.
10 points by the third quarter.
They played a very poor game offensively. No doubt about it.
Can we all agree?
I agree
that
with you on
play
the play calling.
We
yeah.
should have no, been.
I understand I how good Indy's defensive run stop is, but you still got to have a balanced offense.
It was Hold balanced. On. They ran for 140, 145, 143.
Real quick,
with all Jalen Hurts on a lot of broken plays.
No. They were
real
designed
quick.
Runs.
Please
they were
read that.
There was a lot of design.
Russ Taylor from our room. Honestly, someone should have just called the play. Comanche or the annexation of Puerto Rico to end the game.
I honestly think it's going to look better this week. I think they're going to have more time to practice, more preparation. They were coming off of a short week going on the road to Indianapolis. and you're trying to incorporate a guy that just came off of injured reserve or with the pup
list,
right?
I mean,
you know, Tyree Jackson. You're expecting more out of guys like Jack Stahl and Grant Cataro that you haven't like had to put that much on them throughout the course of the year. This is a good week of practice for them to be home for a Sunday night game, for them to incorporate these guys and expect more out of them this week and moving forward. They did what they had to do to win this game. And at the end of the day, listen, it's funny to me. I can't believe that this was the first time that the Eagles have come back down double digits in the fourth quarter since the DeSean Jackson, Matt Dodge game. I mean, incredible to think. That was 12 years ago. And like in this franchise and how great we've been in recent years over the last decade plus, this is the first time that they've been able to do that. They've done it on the road. They did it in Jeff Saturday's home debut as Colts head coach when you knew that there was going to be some sort of buzz in that building after everything that was building up in Indianapolis during the course of the season that led to Frank Reich's firing. This team, they found a way to win. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't what the Niners did last night. It wasn't what Dallas did in Minnesota. They found a way to win. And at the end of the day, getting a 9-1 and regaining one game, actually a two-game lead over the Vikings for home field advantage.
That's what
you needed to do, and that's what they came out with.
You know, Zach, I'm sorry, Sam.
No, I was just going to say I'm tired of hearing the phrase, it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, I mean, look, the truth is that both Sam and Zach are right, and what happens, I believe, in November, when they get to the playoffs, nobody's going to even remember the score of this game. Nobody's going to remember what happened in this game. And anything that happened in this game won't matter other than the Eagles now know that Jalen Hurts can come back from 10 points down in the fourth quarter of a game. This is a week-to-week proposition now. The goal is to have the best record in the NFC at the end of the regular season and give a team that's got some older guys a bye week. And then have the entire NFC playoffs come through Philadelphia.
You're damn right.
So nobody.
Wait, and Dave, where are we standing right now?
I think we're number one, Slash.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're number one in the NFC.
By two games?
Well, not really by two games. Really, I think that's a fake. We have the tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker.
Right, but yeah. That doesn't really mean anything. Yeah. Like, Dave, it's 1.5 games, okay? But like, that's all, like, style points. Nobody cares. It was an ugly game, but man, I'd rather win that game than lose it. I mean, that's all that matters to me. We have so much media outrage and fan outrage. I'm not sure if it's faux outrage. I'm not sure if people are pissed off because they bet the Eagles and they lost on the Eagles, or they took the over, or they figured that every game the Eagles are going to win Eagles are going to win by double digits every game. I thought people were getting bored after 8 games.
No. You know what I'm upset about?
About what? Yes, please tell me. Finally.
No, he's upset about the end of this drive right here, which the Eagles on first and goal, they ran the football.
What I'm tired of is...
Zach?
No, what I didn't like...
Besides me.
Man, I seriously can go take a crap the rest of this show. I'll sit on the can that long. Fact is...
What comes around goes around.
I hope you don't get blood clots. Dave would be jealous.
What we witnessed Sunday was Jalen Hurts putting this team on his shoulders. He is the X factor. You can't defend him. And he put this offense on his shoulders when they had to go down and score. He took over the game. Was he running the ball because they were designed? Yes, some of them were designed. But was he also running the ball because nobody was open?
At time, most of them were designed. Though,
most of them were designed, but he is an X factor that defenses just cannot defend. He put the team on his back and went down and won the game, scored a touchdown when they absolutely had to have it, and left very little time on the clock.
Yeah, and you're leaving me little time on
there
the clock.
Go.
It's now 9:21. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates and an awful host staff, you can combine your home and auto. And guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, even though your hosts suck. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Bavuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve, even though your hosts don't respect you, at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today, even though you have to combine hosts that you don't want on the table with you.
I respect
State Farm
Bavuso.
Agent Dave Bavuso.
He's great.
Will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. That's 856-740-5012. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
like a good host who pays your checks. He doesn't get to say anything.
Can Dave
individual premium will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. This is the Green Legion Radio Player Show.
Let's get Dave Bavuso.
On Fox Sports The Gambler.
I like Dave Bavuso. Let's get him to host again.
102.5 FM Philadelphia. Live from Live Casino, South Philadelphia. You guys all suck. We'll be back right after this. All right, everybody. Green Legion Radio Player Show. Here on Fox Sports The Gambler. 102.5 FM Philadelphia. From Live Casino South Philly. If you're around, hey, we still have
sucky hosts.
35 minutes and sucky hosts. We're at Center Bar, everybody.
And bad Quimby takes.
Did you say sucky hoes?
No.
Excuse me?
No. Not what he said.
I'm going to get this out, and then you guys can just take over for the rest
Yay!
Of the show.
That sound you hear is the audience.
Or as Rex Ryan would say, sucky toes.
Okay. Thanks, John.
This team played like crap 35 minutes. This team played like crap for 35 minutes after coming off a division loss to a team who is not better than them. All right. Do you want me to pick this thing apart? Yeah, I'm going to start with that. And then I'm going, well, no, but I'm going to scrutinize every single play from there on as a result of them coming out as flat as they did, whether it was play calling, whether it was players. Now, did they come back around? Yeah, in fine fashion. I'll say one thing. We're a very liberal referee away from everything being destroyed.
It's a makeup call.
It is a makeup call.
Makeup call.
But
take it for what it was.
What are you talking about?
Hassan Reddick not getting called for that face mask.
But it's the same thing last week.
But hold on. It wasn't a face mask. It wasn't a face mask. But it could have easily been called. All right? Do I like how this team played? Sure, I did. The last 10 minutes. Yay!
Do you like the fact that they won the game?
Of course.
Okay.
I told you, I've been the eternal optimist this entire season. But, no, I'm not going to be happy with them coming out the way they did in the first half after a loss to the Redskins at home on Monday night.
Commanders. Do you remember what happened in the Jacksonville game? Remember the Jacksonville game?
Down 14.
Yeah, nothing. They were down 14.
Yeah. So, sometimes you have to come back in games, right?
Adversity.
Sometimes you have to come back from playing poorly. Hey,
I love your analogy, Dave, but no. All right. They should have come out
and rip everybody's ass every game.
No, absolutely not. I gave you the reasons why I thought they should have come out a little bit more determined. All right. They didn't look determined to me. It's because Washington should have never been in that game. Washington shouldn't be in any game.
What matters the most in a football game? What matters the most? Can someone answer my question?
Okay, hold on a second.
Winning.
Then here we go.
The game?
Hold on, everybody here at Center Bar, at Live Casino, South Philly. Ready? Here we go. Hey, you guys. We're here. The Eagles won. Great show. See you next week.
I thought you were going to say Big Ben. It's Parliament.
All right, Quimby's gone.
Let's go over injuries real quick.
Wait. No, I do have something.
Let's get an injury report.
Let's talk about Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph. Maybe.
Hold on, I do have one semi-relevant thing to say. Is that my dad and I were talking about it, and he said, "Where's the new play calling? Because every team has our number right now. Every team knows what we're doing. Everyone's got what we're doing. So what's the new game plan?"
The new game plan is to not turn the ball over and to not commit penalties. Something they did for the first 8 games of the season when they averaged 28 points a game. And that if they can minimize their penalties and eliminate their turnovers, they'll be back to scoring 28 points a game.
Dave, on those 3 penalties in a row on that same drive.
Yeah.
How did you feel about them?
I thought Calcaterra's penalty was a bit
pretty
shady.
Weak, right?
Yeah. What was the other one? Was an eligible man downfield.
They're
again.
Calling that a lot.
That was Kelsey.
And the NFL said they were going to be calling that. Yeah. We've been getting hit hard with that. We got called for that three times in one game already on the same drive.
Was the other one Dickerson holding?
Dickerson, yes. Yeah. And that's because we run those RPOs.
All right. Well, I have a question there.
I think Lane had one on that
track. It'll actually be my last scrutinization of the game.
Keep scrutinizing. It's fine.
Well, no. We have been expecting now a Miles Sanders that is Pro Bowl caliber. I believe you think that. You've always thought
he's
that,
not getting
Dave.
The ball.
Well, it's not just that, but the last two games, and I get it, you know, there's
playing ups, from
and,
behind.
Ups and downs from season. Yeah, you're playing from behind. This offensive line is healthy right now, and I believe we all thought that anybody running behind this line was going to be successful, especially with somebody with the talent of Miles Sanders. And the last 2 weeks, it has been a little off.
Yeah, and you know, the other team gets paid, and the Washington front seven's excellent, and Indianapolis generally plays a heavy box. So we saw Rodney McLeod around the ball the entire time. Rodney McLeod had a great game. Rodney McLeod's a safety who plays down in the box.
So he's also played against his former team.
If you're looking at an eight-man box, meaning there's eight men in the box designed to stop the run, the automatic check is to change the call and throw a pass. And so the passing game, I thought Jalen was a little bit off. I don't think AJ's had a great last couple of games.
Sacked.
I think AJ, his ankle is bothering him.
Perhaps.
Because when he fumbled that ball, when he stripped the ball from him, he's in the middle of the field.
He looked really uncomfortable.
Well, what he did was he caught the ball on a slant, and when you catch the ball in the middle of the field like that, you don't want to stop. You actually want to initiate the contact.
He went completely straight up and down.
He stopped, and that's not – he's 220 pounds. What are you stopping for? Run the guy over, or run into the guy, or at least initiate contact. And he didn't do that, and that's why he got that ball stripped from him. But I think even last week, there were a couple of balls that one way where the pattern where he fell down, and there was another one where the ball got, I think it was the fourth quarter. The defensive back, he ran a slant. A.J. Brown ran a slant. Defensive back ran through him, defended the ball. That doesn't normally happen with A.J. Brown. I think his ankle is a little more sore.
Tender.
Than he's actually, you know, letting on.
Sack, weigh in.
Dave, I know that the team likes to defer the coin toss, and I feel like this very next game here against the Packers and against Aaron Rodgers, if they win the coin toss, I think they should elect to receive.
Oh, God, no.
That's the dumbest thing of all time. But what I'm saying is, I think they need to establish themselves and get a lead. No.
Did I just lose the title?
No. Yeah, no.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. No.
Well, I thought that was Quimby.
I don't disagree with
you're
that.
Still
then you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Why?
Because you're giving up one possession a game. You're giving their offense one more possession a game than you are getting. Absolutely nobody since Marty Morningwig has made a dumber decision.
Marty Morningwig.
Nobody ever takes the ball first. Nobody, because you get an extra possession, right? At the end of the first half, you generally get the ball last if it works out kind of traditionally, and then you get the ball back.
It's gotta be a coin flip.
You get the ball back at the start of the third quarter when there's nobody in the stands, there's no noise, team might come out flat.
There should be no noise for your offense anyway.
No.
When you're in an opposing stadium.
Let your defense play and then get extra possessions offensively. That's what you do.
Cause I was looking at trying to establish.
Analytically, Sam, and the numbers do not, there's not one number that supports giving up the ball first. I mean, taking the ball first.
Fair enough.
And also, what about Green Bay's offense?
What about in overtime?
Well, my whole point is trying to establish the run early and getting points on the board early. And then that way you can establish the run throughout the rest of the game. Because that's where the Eagles are at their best, is when they front run. When they're coming from behind, yes, they did it the other day. But when they're coming from behind, like right now we haven't had much of a sample size on it this whole entire season. Yes, exactly.
But the way they came out offensively the last two games, you don't have that much confidence.
Yeah, but
that
you want them
go
to
right
come,
down the field on them.
The best thing for an offensive line to do is to run block. And when they establish the run, that's where they can set up play action. And then that's where they can start to incorporate the tight end. And they can start to incorporate the running backs out of the backfield. And then you're
acting like their offensive game planning has been good the last 2 weeks.
But I think
they can prove me wrong.
And the face on Dave Spadaro right now.
I think they just had two games where they just haven't executed well. I mean, that's really kind of what it comes down to. They haven't played
Dave, let me
well
ask you this.
Either, I wasn't either, saying to do with the rest of the
let
season.
Let me ask
just,
you this.
Just
no.
A change.
Dave, when you're coming off, okay, and I was very emotional about it.
Yeah, just a change.
I was very emotional about it when I came back from the bathroom because I relieved myself. Thank you.
Were you sulking?
I was a little bit. I shed a tear.
Oh,
listen, Indiana Jones, don't get chased by a boulder out of this.
Short round.
Don't hate. Appreciate.
Don't you think? All right. Personally, not being a representative of the team, we get it. Don't you think they came out flat this first half? This first half. Especially
offensively?
Yeah.
No, I think they had three penalties in a row.
You don't consider that flat?
No, I think they just played poorly. I don't think there was anything flat about it at all. I think they were, after a loss to Washington.
What's the difference between...
When your head coach is going back to his previous employer in the NFL, I don't think at all they were flat. I think they played a poor first three quarters offensively. And then they played a very good fourth quarter offensively.
All right. On that note, anybody else want to add to this before?
There's no like magic wand you wave and you get it better. Look, they were missing Dallas Goedert. They changed their personnel packages. They changed their approach. They ran some new stuff. They tried to get the screen game going. I'll give you an example. So they threw a screen in the middle of the field to Boston Scott. This is a play that they thought was going to break it big. Now, somebody got Boston by the shoestring, 5-yard gain. Had that guy not gotten him, Boston was gaining 40 yards. So would that have changed your opinion of whether they were flat or not? Saying.
No matter which way you put it, flat, they called with
poorly.
Penalties.
Yeah.
They weren't ready. Let's put it that way. They were not ready.
Both games were awkward games. The Washington game, they lost, but they could have won that game, right? Dallas Goedert doesn't get the face mask and fumble the ball. They're right
Brandon
there in that
Graham
game.
Doesn't get that call.
Right.
Quez Watkins fumbling the ball
right.
on that deep throw.
So they were close to winning that game. And then this game against the Colts, they won it, but they very easily could have lost it. They got that penalty. Was a 39-yard pass interference penalty? They very easily could have lost that game.
On that note, are the football gods trying to level this playing field? Because the amount of fluke,
no such a thing.
Odd play. No. Would you allow me to entertain for a little bit, Richard? I'm talking about three very odd turnovers last week. I'm talking about an A.J. Brown who rarely turns the ball over like that. I'm talking about Jalen Hurts who lost the ball twice this week. I'm talking about a bad snap from Kelce.
It happens from time to time.
Which I get happens from time to time, but it can't happen at the 2-yard line.
Well, I mean, I think over the course of a 17-game season, you're going to have moments like this.
Where you're flat?
Where you just don't play well, Slash.
But that's flat, right? Is that not
flat?
No, I don't think snap is always at the wrong time.
I don't think it's a lack of intensity or a lack of focus. I think they just didn't play well.
I don't think they were energized. That's what we mean by flat.
I disagree.
It's not... Go ahead, Zach.
No, Listen, everybody goes through ebbs and flows throughout the course of an NFL season. It's going to happen. The good thing for the Eagles right now is it's happening right now. It's not happening in the peak part of their schedule where they had the Giants twice and Dallas in Dallas on Christmas Eve. Listen, if there was a pocket in the schedule that you looked at after you started out with that start that you had and you said, where could we fit this in right now? It was probably Washington, Indianapolis, and when you knew how Green Bay was playing, it's this upcoming week. The thing is they have to keep the train going. They have to keep moving. They have to keep winning. And you need to pile these wins up before you start getting into that. Everybody was sitting there a couple weeks ago. Oh, man, this team can go 17-0, 20-0, win the Super Bowl. Now you're starting to see a little bit of a lull in the season. Everybody has had them. Dallas has had them. The 49ers have had them. The Bucks have had them. You know, these teams are starting to get stronger and better as the season tends to move on and go. The Eagles are hitting their lull right now. They want to peak at the right time. Peaking at the right time is when they face the Giants in a couple weeks on December 11th, and that's where you want it to start.
It's interesting, like, going back to the use of the word flat. Like, flat/ I would say more they were frustrated that the first drive, they were moving the ball. I think that's when they had the Calcaterra hold on a 3rd-and-1, maybe, and then it was 3rd-and-11 or whatever the call was. That ended one drive. Then there was a quarterback sack. That ended another drive after they'd been moving the ball.
Talk about field goal range on that one, too.
Yeah, so, like, they were moving the ball. They were just killing themselves at the end of the drives. I don't think that's flat. I think they just...
I guess I just have a broader concept of flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, giggity. There we go. All right, look, I have a bunch of specific plays to bring up when we come back from break on our final segment. And then we obviously have to get to predictions for Sunday night. This is Green Legion Radio Players Show from Live Casino in South Philly at Center Bar. Great crowd tonight. Having fun, even though you guys suck. On 102.5 FM, Philadelphia Fox Sports, the game with Quimby / Sack, Spuds, Super Sam Brady, Irv, intern Lauren. We'll be back for our final segment right after this.
Welcome back to Green Legion Radio Player Show live at Live Casino every Tuesday.
Wow. Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That was fantastic.
ESPN is calling right now.
What are you talking about? Fox Sports is calling. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Well, that Channel 850.
Get up. Go over there. That come back with a better attitude.
Channel 850 is calling.
Excellent. Everybody, that was intern Lauren. Excellent. Excellent intro.
Good job.
There it is.
Ah, thank you, Jansen.
Yeah. So much better than John Jansen.
All right. First of all,
Lauren, host of the line change.
And here we go. These guys will not shut up tonight, which is great. I think we touched on this while I walked away from you guys, but actually, other than, you know, the last couple minutes of the game, favorite play was watching Sue and Linval Joseph tag up on Matt Ryan. And
Can't script that any better, dude.
Oh, God, that was so awesome. I think those guys are going to do nothing except get better. We talked about their durability and
I mean, I think we should talk about them for just a few minutes.
Absolutely. We don't have a few minutes. We got.
How much time do we have?
Well, I want
10 minutes.
60 seconds?
I want to, at 9:51, I want to be talking about predictions for Green Bay, and I got other parts of the game I want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, they came in, they practiced. Sue was here for 2 days. Joseph was here for 3 days. Sue played 17 snaps. Joseph played 26 snaps, and they made a difference. Yep. I mean, incredible, Irv.
Well, they're guys who have experience. You know, they came in somewhat, obviously, football shape. Why wait? You got new toys. Use them. And these guys proved that what Howie Roseman went out and did, he got them to stop the run. And that's what they came in and did. They're filling up. I can't wait.
The whole team.
I can't wait.
We kept them under 99 yards.
I can't wait until all of the defensive tackles and nose guards are all healthy and that six-man rotation starts, man. It's going to be awesome.
I mean, look what Jonathan Taylor did after that first drive.
Nothing.
Next
nothing,
to nothing.
He didn't do anything.
And a fumble loss.
Right.
So, I mean, like, those two guys, once they got themselves a little bit acclimated and things started moving a little bit faster for them,
right,
or tended to slow down for them on those remaining drives, those guys made a huge difference. And when Jordan Davis comes back, that's a lot of beef
that's
in the middle.
Right,
so
man,
so how does that change everybody's opinion on the Eagles defense as they get ready for the stretch run and the playoffs?
I have been supportive of this defense regardless, and I know we were getting a little soft in the middle because of injuries, and I think it was an excellent move. It showed everybody that this team is going for it right now. And I love the two horses that they were able to pick up within the confines of the salary cap to make this work. It's two of the best names you could have, and you obviously saw what they brought to the table. It's great. The entire Indianapolis Colts rushing for the game was 99 yards. Jonathan Taylor was alone.
22 of 87 or something.
It was like 3.5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Sorry. All kinds of.
Is this now a championship defense?
22 for 84.
Do you guys believe this is a championship defense?
I think it was a championship defense before. They just got banged up. They've been absolutely aggressive as hell, opportunistic, and they're getting a little banged up on that line, but now you have two of the most durable players that have ever
got better, and Sue brings attitude.
So does Linval Joseph.
Yeah.
Linval Joseph had 57 and 62 tackles the last two seasons. How that guy wasn't signed.
Just look at the man.
Look at him.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
All right, Sue only had 27 tackles last year.
I'm talking about attitude, though. Sue brings nasty to the defensive line now.
And having that kind of size and that physicality that they bring, I mean, listen, I know we want to live one week at a time. We want to look at the Packers. But this team,
9-1, you're thinking big picture. You're looking further down the road. And if you're thinking further down the road, you're thinking about when you get into the playoffs and you got a team like the Niners who can rush the ball with a Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell and a Deebo Samuel. You know, then you got Dallas if you face them again for a third time in the playoffs. Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, who's really coming into his own this season. That you need those horses in the middle to stop the run, and they're huge additions with Jordan Davis coming back in a couple weeks.
It's fresh legs with a strong rotation now.
Right.
And experience. Yeah.
I want to bring up an excellent play that I think has gone largely unnoticed. All right. Miles Sanders stepped into that pass interference. I don't know if you saw it. It was almost one of the greatest hockey flops you've ever seen. But
actually, they flop more in basketball. But well, keep going.
Well, I thought it was an excellent veteran play for a guy who you don't really consider a veteran still on his rookie contract, but he's in his fourth year. That obviously did wonders for the outcome of the game. I loved it. I loved watching him stop and let that D-back run right into him.
He literally pretty much tackled him.
Oh, it was one of the most blatant pass interference. Right. Thank God we got that call.
My problem with that play was that it gained 39 yards. Right. And what I really wanted the Eagles to do was work more of the clock off.
Yep. Nope.
I mean, I thought the play of the game was...
You can kiss my ass, Dave.
I thought the play of the game was the celebration by Jalen, which was the opposite of the hip thrusting that was going on with the Colts mascot.
Oh, that was excellent.
Exactly.
What the hell is that thing?
What the hell is that thing? It looked like...
That was hilarious. That was hilarious.
Yeah, it was. It was great. Like, you know... Like, we got to get Jalen on the dugout next year with the Fanatic.
Real quick.
Work on that hip thrusting.
Dave, 30 seconds, and then I want to get to predictions because we only have 3 minutes left. Special teams.
Yeah.
Still not wowing in any capacity at all. Herb, I know you want to say something here.
Well, I just wanted
10
to,
seconds.
I just wanted to say there was a touchdown.
Two returns this week.
One to win the game. So every
all right, we
now
don't care and, about that. We want to know about
now,
us.
Every now I mean, and then... Special teams makes a difference, and you don't want to be on the wrong end of every now and then when it makes a difference.
They had one return. Britton Covey had a 13-yard punt return. I'll take a 13-yard punt return every time. Let me just say this. Injury update. No injuries from the game. Still a lot of players on IR, so nothing really changes.
Zach, 10 seconds.
Now, Spud said last week that there was no punt return touchdowns in the whole NFL.
Now there
it happened this week.
And a kickoff return.
We just talked about that.
And a kickoff return, yeah.
All right. Down the road, slash, predictions for Sunday night.
Eagles are sitting at a 6.5-point favorite. I think they win by 4. Give me 24-20.
Even though I feel like we're going to give the prediction again on Sunday at the pregame show over 1100 Social.
Thanks for reminding everybody why we can concentrate on this right now.
Well, I also want them to come out and listen to the show there. And
we have 700 people signed up for that tailgate
already.
We're good.
So I'm going to say this again. 27-14 Birds.
I think we all need to respect Aaron Rodgers. I can't remember how many. I think it's like 17 touchdowns and like 2 interceptions this year.
Nah, he's got like 7.
7 interceptions. Well, yeah, 17 to 7 or 19 to 7 or something.
He had a 3-pick
game. Right, he's really had a pretty good year. And now he and Christian Watson are on the same page. 5 touchdowns for Watson in the last 2 weeks. Packers are a desperate 4-7 team. A loss here, and they're done in the playoffs. So I think they'll play well, but I really think the Eagles will come out in the blackout game and put a hurting on the Packers. So I feel really good about this game.
Need the fans, too.
Fans are going to be great.
Need the fans.
Yeah.
They were non-existent in that Washington
game. I think the 8 wins dulled the fans' senses. I think the fans feel a bit of urgency now. I think that they wish that the Eagles had just taken more time off the clock on that last drive to score a touchdown against the Colts.
Lauren, predictions.
We'll be back in black, and we got to come out big, and we'll get it.
That's it.
There you go.
She didn't have to say anything other than that.
Dave, we need a 60-minute first drive for the Eagles.
Speaking of back in black, Irv, what do we got?
Back in black.
The hat's brown.
It's going to be a double-digit win. I think this extra week or another week working without or putting in game planning without Goddard will give them an opportunity to perform better offensively. I think it's going to be a double-digit win. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is playing well, but I think they're just a little bit lost out there in Green Bay.
I agree with you. One of the matchups that is going to be very interesting, as a whole, the team against Tennessee averaged 2.9 yards rushing, which does favor the Eagles in this situation. However, you also do have to respect that Green Bay is coming off of 10 days rest.
Yeah, which is sometimes a good thing and sometimes not a good thing.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, we found that out. So,
but they're playing in Philadelphia.
They are, but I agree with the win. I don't care what the points are. I believe the Eagles do not cover. I believe it's a closer game, and I believe it's an under game. I think it's more like 20 to 17 or 21 to 17. Anybody have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I mean, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. That's one thought, of course.
Yeah.
Thankful to be here with you guys and gals, and it's really always been a great experience, and I love Tuesday nights being here at Live Casino.
And respect to all servicemen and women who cannot get home for Thanksgiving. We've been actively sending out flags from the Salute to Service game. Thanks to Diaz for doing that. Anybody that wants one, just reach out to him on social media at any one of our portals, the Green Legion on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
And thankful for all of our players that have been here so far this season, including Grant Calcaterra, who came out
tonight. Great story. Great guy.
Actually, we've had great guests every single week out here at Live Casino. If you haven't come down yet, you're missing out. It's a great time every Tuesday night.
I'm good.
All right, good.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Everybody, the Green Legion Radio Players Show, on behalf of myself, Quimby, / Super Sam Brady, Intern Lauren, Chris Sack, Master Sack Attack, Reggie,
ooh, ha, ha,
host of your Philadelphia Eagles Insider Podcast, Mr. Dave Spadaro, and, of course, legendary NFL and Eagles wide receiver, the Reverend, the Dr. Jones, Mr. Irving Fryer.
Go Birds.
Everybody.
And John Jansen.
And John Jansen back in studio. We appreciate you as well.
For what?
We will see you again for the pregame show at 4 o'clock on Sunday.